And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
Most of Norway's 12 bishops favour religious same-sex marriage, but may settle for a simpler civil ceremony because the issue remains controversial, the Church of Norway, which professes the Lutheran Christian faith, said last week. At a meeting earlier, 8 bishops were in favour of allowing religious weddings for same-sex couples, against 4 of the opposite opinion. However, aware that the question divides the church, the majority of bishops advocate a simple blessing of civil unions within a church setting. But that scaled-down option also meets opposition from a minority of bishops. The question has to be agreed upon at the next synod in April 2014. Norway is one of the most liberal countries in Europe when it comes to homosexuality. Same-sex civil marriage and adoptions have been legal since 2009, and the Church of Norway also allows the ordination of homosexuals. Neighbouring Sweden authorised religious same-sex marriage in 2009. The Vatican this week suspended indefinitely a German Catholic cleric dubbed the Bling Bishop for his luxury lifestyle, despite multiple calls in Germany for the prelate to be dismissed. The Holy See deems it appropriate to authorise a period of leave from the diocese for Franz Peter Tevertz van Elst, the Vatican said in a statement. The Holy Father has been continuously and objectively informed of the situation, it said. A situation has been created in which the bishop can no longer exercise his episcopal duties. It did not specify how long the bishop would have to stay away, but added that this would depend on an analysis of the finances of his Limburg diocese and the responsibilities for its high costs. The Central Committee of German Catholics, which brings together all the Catholic lay associations in the country, said it was satisfied with the decision to suspend the bishop. Pope Francis's decision offers a chance at a new beginning in the Diocese of Limburg, where the situation has become heavy in recent weeks both for believers there and for the church in Germany as a whole, its president Alois Gluck said. The bishop flew to Rome last week with low-cost airline Ryanair to explain himself to Francis, following accusations he took an expensive ticket on a trip to India and squandered money. His private quarters in the new diocesan building are reported to have cost some 2.9 million euros and included a 63 square meter dining room and a 15,000 euro bathtub, using the revenue from a religious tax in Germany. The reports have caused a scandal in Germany and sparked calls for greater transparency in Catholic Church finances, a reform aim of the new Pope, who has called for a poor church for the poor. The 53-year-old bishop is under fire over the ostentatious building project in the ancient town of Limburg, which includes a museum, conference halls, a chapel and private apartments. The project was approved by his predecessor and was initially valued at 5.5 million euros, but the final bill ballooned to 31 million euros, including a 783,000 euro garden. Tevertz van Elst is also accused of giving false statements in court about an expensive flight he took to India to visit poor communities. Prosecutors say the bishop gave false statements under oath in a Hamburg court battle against newsweekly Der Spiegel about the flights. Anger that taxes paid to the church by ordinary Germans are apparently being squandered has led to demonstrations outside his residence. German Chancellor Angela Merkel, daughter of a Lutheran pastor, said earlier via her spokesman Stefan Siebert that I can express the hope that there will be an answer for believers for people's confidence in their church. The embattled Tevertz van Elst has defended the project, saying the centuries-old cathedral complex adjacent to the modernist new structure is heritage-protected, complicating the development. Critics within and outside the church have contrasted the premium architectural project with the more humble style of Pope Francis and asked how much good the money could do if used as aid in poverty-stricken African countries. Pope Francis has made several key gestures of a more humble style since coming to office in March and has condemned big spending clerics. The pontiff has refused to move into the lavish Papal Palace in the Vatican, staying instead in the Casa Santa Marta, a residence for visitors. He has repeatedly called for the Catholic Church and its faithful to rid themselves of earthly concerns, like his namesake St. Francis of Assisi, warning that worldliness is a murderer because it kills souls, kills people, kills the church. The Sultan of Brunei on Tuesday introduced tough Islamic punishments, including death by stoning for crimes such as adultery, making his oil-rich realm the first East Asian country to do so at the national level. Sultan Hassan al-Bolkiah, one of the world's wealthiest men, said a new Sharia penal code in the works for years was officially introduced Tuesday and will come into force 6 months hereafter and in phases, sparking sharp criticism from rights groups. Under the code, which applies only to Muslims, punishments can include stoning to death for adultery, severing of limbs for theft, and flogging for violations ranging from abortion to alcohol consumption. By the grace of Allah, with the coming into effect of this legislation, our duty to Allah is therefore being fulfilled, the Sultan 67 said in a speech. An absolute monarch, whose family has tightly controlled the tiny languid realm of 400,000 people for six centuries, the Sultan first called in 1996 for Sharia criminal punishments. Brunei is showing its feudal characteristics as an 18th century state rather than an important member of a regional Southeast Asian economic and social consensus in the 21st century, said Phil Robertson, Deputy Asia Director at Human Rights Watch. He called the legal change rights abusing, abhorrent and absolutely unjustifiable. Brunei already practices a brand of Islam that is relatively conservative compared to its Muslim neighbours Malaysia and Indonesia, banning the sale and public consumption of alcohol and closely restricting other religions. Egypt's Christians were stunned Monday by a drive-by shooting in which masked gunmen sprayed a wedding party outside a Cairo church with automatic weapons fire, killing four people, including two young girls, in an attack that raised fears of a nascent insurgency by extremists after the military's ousting of the president and a crackdown on Islamists. Several thousand Christians gathered Monday for a funeral of the four members of a single family gunned down the previous evening as the government and religious leaders condemned the attack. Egypt has seen an increase in attacks by Islamic radicals since the military removed Islamist President Mohamed Morsi and launched a heavy crackdown on his Muslim Brotherhood and its allies. The targets have mainly been security forces and Christians, whom Islamists blame because of their strong support of Morsi's ouster. In Sinai, suspected jihadi fighters have stepped up attacks on soldiers and police. In rural provinces of the south, there have been a wave of mob attacks led by extremists against churches which have been burned and looted. But the bloodshed in Cairo's Warraq district was the first such violence in the capital, a direct shooting against Christians. With our blood and souls, we will redeem the cross, a crowd of mourners chanted as their bodies were brought for the funeral Monday at Warraq's Virgin Mary Church, where the attack took place. One male relative fell onto one of the coffins weeping. In the church they sang hymns, "Help us, Jesus, forgive us, bless us, our eyes are filled with tears." Fahmi Azhar Abu, 75, sat stunned in the church, staring in shock at the floor. Sunday evening, his family had been waiting outside the church for the wedding for one of his granddaughters to begin when gunmen on motorcycles drove by and opened fire for 5 minutes, then drove away. Two others of his granddaughters, an 8 and 13-year-old, were killed, as well as his son Samir and Abu's sister-in-law. Seven of his relatives were among the 17 wounded in the attack. Several Muslims were also among the wounded, according to church leaders. The military-backed interim Prime Minister, Hazim al-Bawali, pledged the Sunday night attack would not succeed in sowing divisions between the nation's Muslims and Christians. The top cleric at Al-Azhar, the world's primary seat of Sunni Islamic learning, called the shooting a criminal act that runs contrary to religion and morals. In a brief statement, an umbrella group of Islamist parties, including Morsi's Muslim Brotherhood, which have led the campaign of protests against the July 3 coup, also condemned the attack. At the table, silence is golden, especially in noisy New York. That's the gamble a young restaurant owner is taking with patrons who are prohibited from talking during four-course meals. The project, launched a month ago at Eat in Brooklyn's fashionable Greenpoint neighborhood, has created a buzz in the city where restaurants are often so noisy that they trigger routine complaints. Customers have to reserve days in advance for the privilege of eating without speaking or hearing a word on Friday or Saturday night in the small room that seats 25. I want to provide the opportunity for people to experience the food with a kind of intention and attention to the experience that isn't usually afforded by a loud meal, especially in New York City, manager Nicholas Naumann said. Customers who dare break the golden rule during the $40 pre-fee meal are forced to finish their plate on a bench outside. Sitting at long wooden tables adorned with stoneware, the clients play along while tasting a menu based on local organic ingredients. For an entire hour, they savour the food, watch one another, and don't say a word, as though cut off from the hustle and bustle of the outside world. Cell phones must also be switched off. Some struggle to keep serious in the face of an experience that is the polar opposite of the constant frenzy prevalent in New York, the city that never sleeps. We're bringing our own intentionality to it as well, explained the restaurant's chef, Elsa Schmidt, using a philosophical term for the mind's power to stand in for things or concepts. We know what is about to take place, so we're bringing our own energies to it. As the dinner ends, after dessert, the silence ends. Nauman, 28, breaks the silence with a thank you guys and is greeted with applause by his customers. My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
This is Lutheran Radio UK, the radio station of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.